I was coming back from the beach along the sand service road that runs inland behind the dunes. I nearly missed it at first, taking the feathered lump at the base of one of the power line poles for the carcass of a herring gull. Another dead gull. Big whoop. What else is new? But it didn't quite look like a gull. Something about the shape of the beak was odd, so I went over to where it lay. It wasn't a gull. It was the body of a freshly dead fulmar with its left wing missing. This was a mystery on several levels. Fulmars are among the most common of North Atlantic seabirds, but I doubt that very many people on the Cape, with the exception of fishermen, have ever seen one alive. Fulmars are almost entirely pelagic, normally coming ashore only to breed. They soar tirelessly over the gray Atlantic swells, feeding on small fish, crustaceans, and squid. Frequently, they swarm by the hundreds around deep-sea trawlers, feasting on the gurry thrown overboard. Like gulls, they're aggressive scavengers and will frequently steal food from other birds. Fulmars are part of the tube-nose family of seabirds, which includes shearwaters and petrels. The name tube-nose comes from the twin tube-like structures on top of their beaks. Ornithologists are still not certain of the tube's function, but fulmars are masterful gliders, and the tubes may serve as a navigation aid, allowing the birds to detect subtle changes in external air pressure. Though fulmars are found by the tens of thousands on George's Bank in winter, they have only rarely been spotted ashore on the Cape. If they're blown inland during storms, they have trouble getting airborne again. Several years ago, a fulmar was found wandering around in the Wellfleet Woods by local police. It was brought to the Audubon Sanctuary, where it was force-fed and then released. The bird I had found presented something of a mystery. It had not been washed ashore, but had fallen, somehow, in the fog and wind several hundred feet inland. It was only recently dead, for blood was still oozing from its left side, where the wing had been torn or chewed off. Had it been blown down inshore, unable to regain the air, and so fallen prey to a fox or coyote? But there were no signs of struggle, no tracks of any kind in the sand around the bird. Moreover, the wound was clean, as though the wing had been cut or sheared off rather than bitten. The bird also appeared to have been healthy, judging from its large, firm flight muscles under the incredibly soft and thick feathers of its white breast. No, the mystery of the bird's appearance and its missing left wing seemed to lie above me, in the fog and singing power lines overhead. It was quite possible that the fulmar, soaring swiftly across this narrow spit of land in thick fog and hard winds, had struck one of the invisible wires with such force that one of its wings was sheared off cleanly. I could see no trace of feathers or wing on the lines overhead, but that proved nothing. So finely structured for wind are these birds that the wing, disembodied, might have continued on its own, sailing across the dunes and back out to sea. Stranger things have happened out here. I took the fulmar with me, and when I got home, I looked up its status on Cape Cod. It was listed as accidental.